questions. Well, we're going to focus this morning. I mean, we're surrounded at this time of the year by year-end lists, right? Like, they're just everywhere. The year in review. We're also surrounded by prognostication, by, you know, the tabloid version of prophecy. I'll roll out my prophetic side next week. No. But so we're not going there. But I think it is a sort of a natural part of the rhythm of our calendar and of our lives to, at this time of the year, look back a little bit and reflect. And so what I want us to do this morning together as a community is something like that, but the frame within which I would be interested in having us practice it together this morning is a frame that I'm just going to generally call one of gratitude. Now, not the Pollyanna version of gratitude, not the version of gratitude that's like, it's all good, because it's not all good. That's just an oversimplification, usually a radical one. It's just, there's denial, I think, built into that idea. However, there is, despite sort of the on-trend nature of expressing gratitude, and sometimes in the process of that, turning it into something trivial, I think there is a way to engage with this that's really significant and life-giving. So that's what I'd like us to sort of have as the kind of big idea this morning. I'll say a little bit more about that, and then we'll have a chance to actually sort of engage with that together. But I want us to stop before we do and breathe together. And as we breathe together at the beginning of this part of our gathering this morning, I want us to have in mind gratitude for breath, for life itself. Most of us in this room, as far as I know, breathe with relative ease most of the time, physically speaking. I don't see anyone carrying machines with them to help with that in this group. You know, there are other ways in which we sometimes need help with that. We don't tend to notice breath until we have trouble with it, right? Like, we don't tend to notice gravity until we're fighting it. It's just a given. But it's not a given. It's a gift. So let's, as we breathe together, let's be conscious of the gift of breath and of life. If you're new to our community, then just a word about our practice. It's an invitation to practice, not an obligation, so there's no, you don't need to do this at all. But what we usually choose to do together is over the course of four deep breaths, so a four count in, a four count hold, and a six count out, so that we empty our lungs and fill them fully. Over the course of four breaths, we move our hands from this position to position of I'm clinging tightly to some things that I need to open or let go, to our hands being open and palm up, a gesture that says, my body, mind, and spirit are open to what is here that is good. All right? So let's breathe and be grateful together, and then we'll talk and practice some gratitude together this morning. All right? Creator, we are grateful for life and breath and the opportunity to share those things with one another as community. Amen. Thank you. I'm always glad we do that, and some mornings I personally feel like I just needed that. I woke up this morning just feeling like kind of just strung too tight, and I can't even tell you why. I don't know if anybody else has that experience, but it's not a normal one for me. So when I came in this morning and started setting up, I think part of it's just being out of rhythm, you know? Like, Christmas can be lovely, and isn't it great that we get to see all these people we don't usually see and do and eat and so on and so forth, whatever our experiences are. But I get to the sort of this point in the season, and I'm like, you know, just a Monday morning would feel just a time to go to work, whatever, you know? And so maybe that's all about my issues with, you know, work and whatever, but it sort of felt like the string was just a little too tight this morning, and having a chance to be here and breathe together feels really, really lovely. Just feels sort of something kind of uncoiling in me, and that's a great feeling. So thank you for the gift of that. When it comes to gratitude, I mean, it is a trendy thing right now, right? Practice this and keep a gratitude journal and so on and so forth. There's some reasons for that in terms of how the idea came into the culture. There are things about the practice of gratitude that I would say are new and old in our cultural context. And I sort of want to unpack that just a little bit to give us a bit of a frame for what worldview in particular together this morning. So what's relatively new in our cultural context about the practice of gratitude is that a lot of the on-trend part of it is set into the context of positive psychology. So that movement within the larger school of psychology and its practice. And that has a pretty clear stream of emergence as a set of ideas, kind of late 1990s, early 2000s. And there's this quite charming story about it that that comes from Martin Seligman. Seligman, do you say the G? Does anybody know this name? He was the president of APA, American Psychiatric Association, for a long time. Anyway, sort of the founding father of positive psychology. And I think I'm saying it correctly, but if anybody wants to correct me, please do. So Seligman tells this story about being out in their rose garden with their daughter, who was five at the time. And his daughter was just trying to get his attention. And she was like, "Dad, Dad, Dad, Dad." And he just wasn't coming around. And finally he turns on and he just snaps at her. You know, he barks at her. He's unkind. And she's not really very happy with his response at all. And so as he tells the story, she says to him, "Dad, do you remember when I was 3 or 4? And I know, right? Clearly grew up in the house of a, you know, practicing psychologist. Anyway, "Dad, do you remember when I was 3 or 4? "Yeah. You remember how much I used to whine?" "Yeah. Well, when I turned 5, I decided to stop whining. And if I can decide to stop whining, you can decide to stop being a grouch." Isn't that great? I'm like, oh, you raised her, you know. So, right? So any parent kind of has these moments where your kid kind of comes back at you with something you've been feeding into them all the way along, and you're like, oh, man, not sure how I feel about that now. But that, as Seligman tells the story, that got him thinking about, in terms of being well as people, about the importance of working at developing what was right rather than focusing on what was wrong, which is sort of what the practice of psychology had been focused on. What's broken? How do we deal with brokenness? We're always auguring into broken, broken, broken. And the school of thought that has been called positive psychology, which Martin Seligman is sort of the granddaddy of, focuses instead on what's right and how do we develop what's right. Right? So that's kind of how that movement got started. And out of that movement, among other things, has come a much more consistent or visible practice of what we use the word gratitude for in the early 21st century West. So that's kind of how that happened in terms of the roots of it. So that's sort of the new idea part, if you will. The old idea part is ancient. I mean, it's as old as we are as a species, I think. And for sure, it is old enough to predate what those of us who have been influenced by Western ideas of what constitutes history, it's certainly older than that. I mean, if you grew up kind of with the Western mindset, then the idea of history is, I mean, it's built into the word, his story. History doesn't start in the Western mind until something gets written down, right? But the idea and practice of the thing we would now use a word like gratitude for absolutely predates things getting written down. And I would say that with good confidence, in no small part, because if you were here for our gathering on the evening of December the 23rd, then you heard Wally literally unpacking the medicine bag that's on the table here that was a gift from him and Teresa to the community. And as part of that, Wally talked about being grateful for the earth and all that it gives us. He talked about a lot more than that, and I would encourage anyone, if I get, you know, emotional about this, just give me a minute with it. But I had that medicine bag in my hands this morning because I didn't really get a chance to spend any physical time with it on the 23rd. And if you go ahead and unpack it and read what's in there as well, because it's a beautiful recap of what Wally said about the contents of the bag. But even if all the time you take is to pick it up and hold it in your hands and smell it, just be with it physically. I'm back. That gift, so as Wally's kind of unpacking that gift for us, and if you want to, like I said, he talked about a lot more than that, and I would encourage you to ask if him and Teresa are open to it, a further conversation about it, then have that conversation, because there's just lots there to explore. But that awareness of how interdependent we are with the earth, with all that we might tend to take as a given when it comes to our life on this planet, that is an ancient value that is deeply consistent with what I've been using a word like gratitude for this morning. So that's why I would say there's an old, very old part of this that predates any notion we have of history as the thing that's written down. And I think as long as we have been capable of self-reflection, of sort of standing back from our own experience and thinking about it, we've been working with why does it matter to be grateful. we've been wrestling with that as a species, and sort of what, how do we express that? Who are we grateful to? What are we grateful for? Why does it matter to take time for this? So long before Martin Seligman and positive psychology, there was a thing that we could use a word like grateful for. And it shows up in ancient texts as well. So once things are starting to be written down, these ideas are present in them. So if we think about the tradition in which many of us in this room stand or have been raised, the Christian tradition, which of course is the child of the Hebrew tradition, arguably, if we take those two traditions in their sacred text and we take this idea and we ask, where is this present? This is a set of values that tend to show up as thankfulness in the Hebrew texts and as what I'm going to call one another's in the Second Testament or the New Testament or Christian texts. So kind of there's lots of ways to think about this, but here's one way to sort of frame the difference between thankfulness and gratitude, because they arguably are not the same thing. There are other ways to think about this, but here's one way. Thankfulness is a feeling. So we can generate thankfulness on our own, like in our brain. All right? So if someone helps me out in some way, I can say to myself, I can kind of check in with my emotional self, and I can say reflectively, I feel thankful for their help. It's an emotion. I can have it inside of me. And that's a good thing to do, and that can have a tremendously positive impact on my attitude and on my life, my relationships. Gratitude, we can think of as different in that it requires someone else to be in the picture, because gratefulness takes its fullest shape outside of me. So it's not to say I can't feel grateful. I can have that emotion. But if I want to have the fullest experience of the thing that we would use a word like gratitude for, I need to get it out of my insides and into the outside world somehow. This is one of the reasons why the people who study this and who practice it with some diligence would encourage us to do something like keep a gratitude journal, right? That's a way of externalizing that feeling. And it takes a different shape when we get it out of our insides. So grateful is different in that way. So for instance, I've got this buddy, Peter, who sometimes helps me fix mechanical things. Peter's a farmer, so he can fix anything, with nothing. The guy can just absolutely fix anything. And Peter is one of the most emotionally intelligent men, certainly, that I know, and just a tremendous friend. He knows how to love people and receive love from people. It's really very beautiful. So when Peter helps me fix my busted trailer, true story, I can think, I'm thankful for my friend Peter and his help. And I can feel that emotion. I'm thankful for Peter. And if I want to turn that into gratitude, as we've been talking about it this morning, then what I do is I express it, I focus it outward, and I say to Peter, Pete, I'm grateful for your help. I let him know. I get it out there in the world. I get it out there in the relationship that I have with my friend Pete. And when we do that, one of the things that we're doing is we're turning that positive feeling into positive action, and that in turn can help to generate positive emotion in others, which can become positive action. And so there's that. That's one of those, for me, the metaphor is always tossing a pebble in a pond, right? Like there's a ripple. The ripples go out. You don't always get to know where they're going to go or what they're going to hit. But that plunk of, Pete, I'm thankful. I'm grateful for your help. That there's ripples from that, and they're good. They're good ripples. We might, depending on our spiritual practice, we might talk at that point when we're trying to imagine this as being a spirit thing. But partly, by which we partly might mean something that travels in ways that we don't know how to really articulate. Heard this great song this past week called Can't Put a Name on That. It's all about sort of things we experience as spiritual. And it just names a whole bunch of them in ways that you could easily identify with. That's in my blood. That's in the air. That's in these relationships. And it's powerful and it's real. And I can't put a name on that. And, of course, one of the things that religions do is they put a name on that. So what I want to do whenever I practice religion out loud about that part of life is I want to retreat to a word that we can share instead of being so particular that we end up with language that we can't share, which is why I would use a word like spirit for the way those things travel, right? So when the Hebrew poets, if we're going to think about sacred texts and how these ideas show up, and then when the Hebrew poets talk about this realm, they say things like the psalmist, the poet, in Psalm 118, 29th verse says, give thanks to the Lord, for God is good, God's love endures forever. And that's an interesting text, because that's a pretty compact directive. Do this, give thanks. right? So it's a directive to us as people reading the text. But it also engages with both sort of this emotional aspect. So it engages with things like love and thanks, things that we can feel, experiences, emotions. And it also engages with the gratitude aspect by reminding us that there's something to do, that we should actually express this. We should, giving thanks is not being the same thing as being thankful, right? We can be thankful without expressing it. So that's all kind of bound up in this one little wisdom text. It's one little poetic text in the Hebrew sacred scriptures. It says, do this, feel this, and then do this, right? And if we want to explore, like I was talking about in the Second Testament or the New Testament, the half of the Bible or so that was written by people who were trying to figure out what it might look like to live out the teachings of Jesus, if we look at those sacred texts, we find a whole bunch of stories that encourage us to do things like encourage one another, forgive one another, take care of one another, all these different things that turn that internal feeling of thankfulness into the external expression or acting out of gratitude. So they kind of put wheels on it, right? To use a mechanical metaphor. One of the things that expressing gratitude can do is help us gain a better perspective on our place in the world, on the experiences we're having. And this is one of the things that we just can't seem to stop doing as human beings, right? We are meaning makers. We are. There are some people who can live with a conscious understanding of the world as meaningless. There are people who do. That is their philosophy. None of this means anything. It's all meaningless. It's all random. And that's there's a well-developed school of philosophy that has to do with that. But in the main, and you could make the argument that saying none of this means anything is making a meaning frame. You know, so it's a bit of a short loop, right? The way you deal with meaning is by saying nothing means anything. But most of us actually live in a little different space than that, where we're like, no, I get that. I want to know what things mean. I want to have some kind of a story that I can orbit this experience around, or some kind of a framework for the things that are big into which I can set the things that are ordinary and go, I think this has something to do with that, and that helps me understand what it means. So I would contend that in the main, we are meaning makers as a species. We do this. And so one of the things that can help us move through the world in better, just healthier, more robust, truer ways is if we have a way to make sense of our experiences, both the good ones and the difficult ones. And the practice of gratitude is one of the ways that we can help that to happen. One of the ways that we can begin to understand or frame our experiences, both good ones and not good ones. So that's why I said what I said before about not wanting to be in the Pollyanna space of this where everything's good. That's sort of the trivialization of something profound, I think. That's to make gratitude into a new pop psych way to feel a little bit better. As pop psych ways to feel a little bit better go, practicing gratitude is probably not so bad. I just think there's a lot more going on here than that. So the exercise of being grateful consciously is a good exercise anytime, and at a time of the year like this where we're kind of maybe more inclined to reflect on the year past and consider the year to come, I think there's a good intersection here for some conscious practice of gratitude. So what I would like us to take some time to do together this morning is to express our gratitude. Now, that might be quite general. There are profoundly important things to be grateful for that are with us every day. We just did some of that together. We breathed in and out together as a practice of gratitude for life. That's a pretty big deal. It's also pretty ordinary. Pretty okay until it's not, right? Until it's gone or until we're wrestling to hang on to it. So that's a conscious practice of something general. It might also be really specific and deeply personal when we start to reflect on this. And so I'll give us sort of a mechanism for expressing gratitude in ways that are public in the sense that we can share them with community, but also a way that is more private and personal for things that need to be or better kept in that realm. But I do have a starting place in mind, and Judy, I'm going to need your help with this. What I want us to do to start is read out loud the acknowledgement that's normally part of our practice in terms of being grateful for the gift of this land and place and acknowledging in humility that that our presence here is a gift of people who have inhabited these lands since before, as I said a moment ago, before what the Western mind tends to think about as history. And so this is always part of our visual space together, but not always something that we share together, thinking consciously about gratitude. And by the way, the practice of gratitude, and Wally touched on this on the 23rd as well, the practice of gratitude leads us into a space of humility, a space where we are properly understanding, or more properly understanding, our interdependence. So that's a whole human orb thing, right? That's body, mind, and spirit. We tend to focus on hyper-individualism in the Western world. There's all sorts of reasons why I think that's been fostered, not the least of which is that if we think about ourselves as isolated individuals, it's way easier to sell us stuff. But that's just not a very true way to understand the human person or experience. And so acknowledging things like this traditional territory's acknowledgement does helps to move us toward a better, truer perspective on who we are, where we are, and what we should be grateful for. And that fosters humility, and that opens us to good things. So, blah, 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 lots of words. These are carefully chosen ones, not by us, but by the wider community in Canada. And so let's read this aloud together, and then we will go on from there, okay? From We Are. We are located on original lands of Anishinaabe, Cree, Oji-Cree, Dakota, and Dene peoples, and on the homeland of the Métis Nation. We respect the treaties that were made on these territories. We acknowledge the harms and mistakes of the past, and we dedicate ourselves to move forward in partnership with Indigenous communities in a spirit of reconciliation and collaboration. I'm sure that there are many people who could speak to this more personally and more profoundly than I can. However, I am struck by the order of the words in the very last sentence, reconciliation and collaboration. I think there's a bit of an inclination, at least from the settler community, of which I'm a part, to skip past part one and cut straight to part two. Let's collaborate. Let's make something together. But the spirit in which those treaties were made from the Indigenous people's side assumed that this was actually an equal partnership, something that I don't think you could argue successfully that the settlers had in mind at all. I think they were just after the stuff. And so, and not to mention the fact that they thought God gave them this land before they even got there, which is a whole other problem we'll talk about another day. But reconciliation, to be in relationship and have that relationship be... Reconciliation assumes there was a relationship to be restored, which is what I think is weak about the word in this context. I actually think we need a word for something that starts further back in the relationship process and reconciliation that's more like just built, made, grown something. Then we can move toward collaboration. So there's lots of work to do, but this is an important space to begin in. We are grateful to be in this place at this time and to receive that as a gift from the peoples who were here when the settlers got here, and for the spirituality that was here when the settlers got here. God didn't arrive in North America with the Europeans. What a stupid idea. Anyway, but goodness knows we've practiced it like it was true. So, you know, just things to remember, right, as a starting place for gratitude. All right, so let's move on from there a little bit in terms of our own practice here. If you're listening to this on the podcast, this is where the podcast checks out, because now we're going to do community things and we're not going to broadcast those to the world. If you want to be part of that experience, you have to show up for it. Period.